Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ. Joining me today, Locked On Falcon Zone, Aaron Freeman is here. Aaron, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Fun to be talking Falcons with you, Chase.
Feeling pretty good. Are you surprised that Falcons fans have panicked over Kirk Cousins' number reveal, that he's going to be 18? That they're like, I've seen a lot of things. Falcons fans have been hurt a lot, but seeing folks panic about Kirk Cousins not getting 8 and getting 18 instead is pretty wild to see from afar, Aaron.
Yeah. The jersey stuff is always fascinating to see the reactions to it. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, if your number is not 0, then they're all basically the same at that point in time. Like, 0 is the one number that really stands out. Like, oh, okay, you mean business. Mm-hmm. You get this number. But pretty much everybody else is just like, all right, I was a little surprised when he got 18, but, it is what it is. No big deal.
I'm okay with it. I don't know if you're like me, but I've been telling buddies and friends, and like, I got the Keith Brookings signed Falcons helmet from like the early 2000s at a car dealership in like Marietta, Aaron. And look, you and I go back a long time with Falcons football. To me, I've been telling people where we're at now reminds me of the mid 90s, like the Chris Chandler era. We've entered the Chris Chandler era. He wore number 12, journeyman quarterback, bounced around several times before he found his footing in Atlanta. Atlanta got obviously tired of trying to evaluate and develop the post Matt Ryan successor in Atlanta, and Arthur Blank wanted to win and wanted to raise the floor the best he could, and Kirk Cousins is now an Atlanta Falcon, and I think that's good. Like, I think if the way to push this, if I'm a Falcons fan right now, is Kirk is the ultimate floor raiser. Is that how you view his impact over the next couple seasons in Atlanta?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I've been watching film of all the Falcons free agent pickups, and I've been watching some more Kirk Cousins. And the player he reminds me a lot of is the pre Kyle Shanahan, Matt Ryan, like those that like 2013, 2014 Matt Ryan type of player that were like, that wasn't Matt Ryan's best years, but like, you knew he was a good quarterback, and the issues with the team were all the other issues with the team at that time, not the quarterback at that point. And so I feel like that's basically Kirk Cousins. And so my main concerns right now are all the other issues with the team that they have to sort of figure out, rather than necessarily the quarterback. So I think that's a fair way of looking at Kirk.
So when you think about the other issues with the team and like where things are at, do you think, and this is something I was thinking about, of like, is he a better fit for Zach Robinson and this staff versus like if the Falcons had still done this and Arthur Smith had been retained? Who do you think Kirk's actually a better fit for?
It's hard to say because we don't 100% know what Zach Robinson is going to be. We're kind of assuming it's going to be a lot of Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. How much of it is Sean McVay is I guess the question, because you know Sean McVay is one of the two, three best play callers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so if he can get close to that, that's pretty good place to be. I kind of thought all along that if Arthur Smith had been retained, that Kirk Cousins would have been 100% on their radar to sort of come in and elevate the floor. Cause I think a lot of the things that Arthur Smith wants to do offensively, Kirk Cousins does really well. And so to me, the only real conversation in that alternate reality where the Falcons do retain Arthur Smith is whether or not Kirk Cousins would have wanted to come to Atlanta in a sort of situation where you may have a potential lame duck head coach in that sense, because it was kind of the same sort of pressure to win in order to save your job. And so would that have been as attractive to Kirk Cousins to try to come here and finish in Atlanta, not knowing if Arthur Smith was going to be here for the next, you know, three or more years, like he would with Raheem Morris, presumably. So that to me was going to be the biggest challenge. But I figured, you know, I've been talking about it on Locked On Falcons since like December, since Christmas, that, you know, at the point where it became very clear around, you know, that week 15 Panthers game that Desmond Ridder was not the answer for the Falcons beyond this season or last season, that if this team had their choice of that guy that was going to come in and, you know, raise the floor, as you put it, Kirk Cousins would have been that guy. And I don't think that changed when they fired Arthur Smith.
When you think about the pieces and we talk about where the Falcons are still lacking, and like last year was obviously they had a lot of money to spend for the first time in a while. They invest pretty heavily in the defensive side of the ball. When you think about what they're going to still do and holes they can still fill ahead of the draft, where would you like to see, maybe via trade, maybe still via free agency? What's still lacking right now at this Tennessee, or with this Atlanta Falcons team?
I would look at some three holes on the defense as the main issues right now, where I think they need starters. They need another edge rusher. They need another corner. They need another safety. But if I was to pick one of those groups, I think the pass rush is probably my biggest concern at this point in time.
Why?
Just because, well, you know, it's been an issue for the Falcons for a very long time. They made a big jump last year, going from one of the worst pass rushes into the NFL for the previous, you know, 3 to 5 years, to middle of the pack. But they are losing, you know, potentially guys that you wouldn't necessarily say are household, or, you know, Calais Campbell's a household name, but guys that were, you know, true difference makers in Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree. Grady Jarrett's coming off an ACL tear. He already wasn't playing what was his best football last year before that injury. So I'm not necessarily expecting him to come back and be sort of peak Grady Jarrett and carry your pass rush as he has done so many times over the last 5 years. So I feel like that area of the roster really needs an infusion of talent. I know a lot of people are projecting the Falcons to take a pass rusher with their eighth overall selection at the top of the draft, but I think betting on a rookie is not enough to really move the needle forward for this pass rush, where this upcoming season, you know, if this team's goal is to be a playoff team and, you know, make a run in January, you're going to need to be able to get pressure on some of these quarterbacks that you're going to face. Not to mention you face some pretty good quarterbacks during a regular season, like Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs and Justin Herbert. You know, the NFC East quarterbacks like Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts are pretty good guys. And if you want to beat those teams, you're not going to be able to do it with a below average pass rush. And so I think that's probably the area that's the biggest concern for me right now in terms of things I would like to see this team address between now and the draft. And, you know, the free agent pool has kind of dried up in a lot of ways. Like maybe the top pass rushers available now in free agency are like Carl Lawson and Kyle Van Noy, guys that are a little older, guys are dealing with injury history. Then after that, like it's maybe a trade for Hassan Reddick on the Eagles. And that would certainly move the needle in a major way for this Falcons pass rush, a player that's had double digit sacks 4 years in a row. And I can't even remember the last time the Falcons had a double digit sack guy. I think that was 2016, if I'm not mistaken.
Vic Beasley?
Yeah, I feel like that's the correct answer. So, you know, I do feel like that type of pickup would make a ton of sense, but without that sort of thing, I'm not going to be super comfortable putting all our hopes on, you know, a year three jump for Arnold Ebiketie, a rookie coming in, and, you know, whatever's left in the tank for Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata, both guys on the wrong side of 30 at this point in time, as the core of a Falcon pass rush.
It is interesting, too, and I like that you brought up Onyemata, because I have a question about Grady in a second. But in terms of, I mean, what they can do with, here's what's, when I think about the draft and what they're going to do at 8, like, it seems like the fan base would freak out if they go skill position guy again. Like, if they go that route one more time, I think this fan base might really, really lose it. But I think it's also just BPA. Like, it just depends on the context and who falls. Like, if Marvin Harrison falls to 8, like, and if you're upset the Falcons go that route, like, I don't know what to tell you, but that's a good thing. I'll take that 10 times out of 10. So it really just comes down to how the draft unfolds. But I do wonder, like, is the better way to go about Kool-Aid McKinstry at 8? Is it a Terrion Arnold? Is it going the Clemson quarterback whose name escapes me off the top of my head? But is it more, when you think about Jimmy Lake's defense and what you've seen from him at Washington, because he was an elite defensive play caller at Washington, it didn't go well as a head coach, but still an elite defensive mind, but still kind of an unknown at the NFL level. When you think about what he's bringing to the table, do you think his defense might be more, like, it might be better suited to add more secondary help for Terrell and Jesse Bates? Or do you think the pass rush is still, regardless of what scheme changes we're going to see here from Ryan Nielsen to Lake, that you can't have enough pass rushers?
Yeah, I tend to lean the latter. A lot of my assumptions with what Jimmy Lake and what Raheem Morris are going to bring defensively is sort of porting over a lot of what they did with the Rams the last couple of years, which was a lot of zone heavy defense rather than just sort of being that lockdown man coverage team that I think Ryan Nielsen wanted the team to move towards, which is why they went out and got Jeff Okuda last year to sort of be that press man corner opposite AJ Terrell, and they could beat up guys at the line of scrimmage. So to me, when you play a zone heavy scheme, I tend to think the pass rush matters more than the pieces in your secondary. At that point in time, like, you just need, like, smart, good players, obviously, but, like, you don't need that sort of high end lockdown, you know, shutdown man cover corner that typically goes high when it comes to the draft, that typically gets picked in the top 10. So that's part of the reason why, like, for me, the pass rush takes the priority. Now, in a world where, you know, my expectations are subverted and the Falcons do go to a man heavy defense, I do think the case for getting that sort of other cornerback opposite AJ Terrell makes a lot more sense, especially in round one. But for the time being, I just feel like with the expectation that you're going to play a lot of zone, you know, being able to get reliable pressure with four guys is usually the key to having a good zone defense. And, you know, the Rams were able to get away with it a lot because they had Aaron Donald and they knew, like, he was always going to get pressure on pretty much every single down. You know, even when he was doubled and triple teamed as often as he was, like, he was just, you know, a god amongst men. And so it just made things so much more so much easier for them to basically scheme around him, where you would always get those one-on-ones with other guys and you can, you know, dial up, you know, simulated pressures and all these various things that they have done over the years to sort of add to what they had with Aaron Donald. And like I said earlier, like, I think Grady Jarrett is a heck of a football player, but even at his best, I don't think he's ever approached the Aaron Donald level. And as I suggested earlier, like, I don't think what we're expecting from his best. So to me, that idea of trusting in the current group of guys to be that consistent and reliable four-man, you know, pressure front that you need to play a high level zone defense, I don't think makes a ton of sense at this point.
I'm also very curious. So, like, you would know better than I, Aaron, and I am, like, one of the casual talking points I saw come out last year was that Grady is starting to slip and he needs more help. And that I don't know. So when you look at what Grady Jarrett did last year, do you think we're seeing the backside of Grady Jarrett's career and they do need to invest more in the interior? Or do you think that's kind of overblown for where Grady's at this point in his career?
I do think Grady's
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Pushing the backside. Like, I did think a big part of last offseason was we got to get Grady more help because it's just basically him alone, you know?
Yeah.
Defensively, in terms of difference makers on the front end, you know, of course you had AJ Terrell on the back end, but we need more guys. And I thought the Falcons did a good job bringing in Campbell, bringing in Onyemata, bringing in Caden Ellis, Bud Dupree, all those guys, bringing back Lorenzo Carter. And I felt like that raised the floor. And I think the results speak for themselves with the Falcons going from 20-ish sacks last year to 40-ish sacks, you know, this past season. But to be honest with you, I did not think the performance that Grady Jarrett had when he was healthy before he went down with an injury, I think in week 8 against the Titans, was what I thought it would be. I thought we would see the best version of Grady Jarrett because of that supporting cast that was now around him. And again, I don't think he played poorly by any means, but I would probably argue it was probably one of the weaker first halves of the season that we have seen from him in the last 5 or 6 years. Now, again, because Grady Jarrett is Grady Jarrett, like, what is a normal good year for him is different from what it is for probably 90% of the players in the NFL. But it does give me some concern that we are seeing, you know, a decline. Like, basically, we got the help for Grady Jarrett a year too late to really maximize that. And now coming off, again, this ACL tear, I'm not as confident that he's just going to bounce back and look like his pre-2023 form when he wasn't, you know, when coming off of this injury. So I do think that is a legit concern. And I do think whether it's, you know, I do think the Falcons need to do something in this draft. You know, maybe it's not a priority in the first round or two, but maybe we get to the third or fourth round, you know, drafting somebody that they can maybe pencil in as the heir apparent to Grady Jarrett, just because I feel like the Falcons have not done a great job the last couple of years in transitioning, you know, from their stars, right? I think you can make an argument the last couple of seasons and some of the struggles that they've gone through are directly related to them not necessarily having a plan in a post-Matt Ryan, post-Julio Jones world. And I don't want to see this team have that same issue dealing with a post-Grady Jarrett and in a post-Jake Matthews world, two players that have been, you know, entrenched on this team. And then, you know, them dealing with 3 or 4 years of replacement level play at those spots, which would be a massive drop off from what they've gotten historically at those spots. And so I do think the Falcons need to have an eye for the future when it comes to Grady Jarrett, but I am expecting Grady Jarrett to continue to play well. I just don't know if he's going to be that dominant force for the team that he has been regularly over the last 5, 6 years.
I like it. When you think about the best possible player, that what's going to make Falcons fans a the most happy at number 8, and what would make Aaron Freeman the most happy with what they do at 8?
Well, to be honest with you, the thing that would make me most happy is if somehow the NFL overthinks Drake May and he falls to 8 and the Falcons can snatch him. That would
you would still go May at this point. Okay.
I have a very high opinion of Drake May. I think he's one of the better quarterback prospects I've seen in the last 15, 20 years.
Why do you think some people are out on him a little bit?
I don't know. I think UNC was bad this year.
Yeah.
And I think some people are attributing a lot of those issues to Drake May when I think it's everybody else around him that those issues were with. But, you know, I've had conversations with people since the Senior Bowl on Drake May, and I've never gotten really a straight answer other than just like, yeah, I don't really like him like that. And it's just like, okay, like, I don't get that. But that would be the thing that would make me the most happy. I think all the people that are out on Kirk Cousins, which seems to be a sizable portion of the fan base that is very skeptical of Kirk Cousins, that would probably make them happy.
Are people skeptical of Kirk Cousins? Like, what's there to be skeptical about with Kirk Cousins in 2024?
I think it's the age, the injury, and the money, right? It's just one of those things where it's just like, he's not going to single-handedly win the Falcons a Super Bowl, which no duh. Yeah. And so therefore people are like, it's a waste of money. We should just go cheap and punt on the quarterback position like we've been doing the last couple of years, and eventually it'll work. And what? Like, I don't share that
sentiment.
Yeah. I don't either. But I think there's a lot of Falcon fans that are looking at what the Steelers did this offseason, going cheap with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and thinking that's the better strategy.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I think the Falcons win more games than the Steelers next year.
We shall see. Well, I mean, if Mike Tomlin has never lost more or never won less than 8 games in the season or something, 9 games in the season.
I think it's weird now because it's 17 games instead of 16. When you start, I think it's, yeah, because I think probably less than 9 in a 17 game season. Okay. But so yeah, I mean,
that's the floor with the Falcons got to be. I think they can beat that.
I mean, they've been doing that the last couple years with, I mean, Arthur Smith lived in the 9-8 zone. Like we couldn't get out of that spot. I also think, and maybe I'm wrong here, but my gut, I do think they take a quarterback somewhere in this draft would be my guess. But I do think it's going to be Rattler. I don't know where Spencer Rattler gets taken, but my spidey senses just lean towards Spencer Rattler. And Falcons fans might not like that, depending on where they do take somebody like Rattler. But I think he's somebody where you talk about like the team around him is bad. Rattler was running for his life in South Carolina this past year. That offensive line was brutal. I saw it up close when they played at Tennessee this fall. But Rattler has legitimate arm talent. Like Spencer Rattler, there's a reason he was the number one quarterback in his class years ago. I don't hate taking a flyer on somebody because they're like, oh, it's Desmond Ridder. I'm like, no. Spencer Rattler is a very, very different kind of quarterback and a very different type of gamble than a Desmond Ridder, because Desmond Ridder is like you were hoping was a high floor, low ceiling guy. And for Rattler, the floor is very low, but the ceiling is quite high. So I think it's a little bit different. And I don't know, if you saw the Falcons take, let's say Rattler goes in the third, would you be okay with that being where they take a quarterback to add to the Heinicke Cousins room?
Yeah. I'm a fan of Spencer Rattler. I've been a fan. I've been one of those people that has sort of been like intrigued by the arm talent and all the things that we've seen on display since his days at Oklahoma. And I'm like, I remember, I guess 3 years ago, when it was like he was the presumptive favorite to be the number one overall pick, I guess, in that 22 draft.
PFF started the year with him, number one overall.
Yeah. And so, I get it. Like, I've always gotten it with Rattler. And so I agree with you. I think as far as, like, you know, a third round bet goes, typically, like, the upside with Spencer Rattler, I think, is a lot higher than it is. And he's not just purely, oh, this is a guy that has a rocket arm and athleticism, but, like, his play is really bad, and he's like, you know, like Joe Milton is a raw piece of clay, right? You know, probably got one of the strongest arms I've ever seen, but like he needs reps, right? And it's going to take some time. If someone's going to develop Joe Milton into a starter in the NFL, it's probably going to take 5 years.
He needs to be in Buffalo. I've been pushing for this, like him backing up Josh Allen and that kind of duo.
It would be fun.
It would be so much fun.
Yeah,
that's where I hope he ends up.
But like, I think Rattler is legitimately a guy that, you know, while I agree with you, his floor may not be as high as other players, but I do think you're looking at a player that should at the very least be a very capable backup. And I think has a very clear path to being a quality starter in the NFL. I don't know if he's ever going to be like, to me, the player he kind of reminds me of is Baker Mayfield, but like with a much stronger arm than Baker Mayfield in terms of like what I think he could be in the NFL. Like, you're never going to be in love with Spencer Rattler as your starter long-term. Like, you know, we've seen with Baker Mayfield, but like he can win games in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what you're shooting for with Spencer Rattler. And I think that makes sense for a team like the Falcons to take a flyer on. And I'll be curious to see if other teams are thinking that way, and that causes his stock to rise a little bit. And maybe he's, you know, goes early in that second round, you know, after we get a run on quarterbacks, maybe late in the first round or something like that.
With the new staff in place, with some free agency stuff still looming, we'll end on this, Aaron. What should be the Falcons fans' expectations come 2024? Should Kirk Cousins, it's like, hey, the NFC's pretty open outside of the Niners up top. I think the Eagles and the Cowboys should be right there. Packers, I'm figuring in to make a leap this year. Obviously, the Lions should be solid once again. But, I mean, Baker Mayfield, speaking of Baker Mayfield, he's brought back. But no Dave Canales in Tampa Bay. We'll see how Liam Cohen meshes there. Derek Carr, we'll see. A new offensive coordinator in New Orleans for the first time in like 15 years with Pete Carmichael moving on. So we'll see if Clint Kubiak and the Shanny offense works for him in that group. But looks like Mike Thomas probably won't be involved in that anymore. But I don't know. When you look at the NFC South and the Falcons trying to host their first playoff game in their new building, which they have had for quite a long time now, what say you? Does this feel like the start of a divisional champion run and maybe a little bit of a sneaky deep playoff run?
Yeah, I mean, I go into this season expecting the Falcons to win the division. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting them to make a deep postseason run at this point in time. Now, maybe they make some moves in the next 5 months that, you know, change that expectation. But, you know, I think what Falcon fans should expect is, you know, probably a team that should be able to win 9 or 10 games, win the division, and make some noise in January, but may not necessarily be a team that you look at. I mean, basically what we saw from the Bucs last year, I think is kind of what you're hoping, expecting from the Falcons this year, where they get a favorable matchup maybe in round one against a weird Eagles team or something like that, whoever the equivalent of that is, win that game and then, you know, get into the second round and, you know, they get exposed for what they are, which is that happy to be here team. And
yeah,
for me, like, I think that that's a good start for this regime in this era. If they fall short of that, then, you know, I think there's going to be a lot more questions about that. And then I really kind of think, with that sort of out of the way, with that foundation out of the way, then 2025 is the year where you can make the additions and make that real push where you could actually be a legit threat to some of the top teams in the NFC and maybe make that deep postseason run. But I do think 2024 is the year where you kind of establish the floor, and hopefully that floor is winning the division and, you know, getting to the postseason.
I love it. Aaron, what could the good folks check out from you over at Locked On Falcons this week?
5 days a week, Locked On Falcons, YouTube, your favorite podcast platform. We're sort of breaking down, you know, the free agent moves and whatnot. Now that it seems like the Falcons are kind of slowing down, probably talking about, you know, some of the pass rushers potentially available, like Hassan Reddick, and what a trade like that could look like. So check that out on Locked On Falcons. And obviously, you know, probably starting next week, we'll start pivoting heavily towards the draft and getting folks geared up for all the expectations they can, you know, expect from that come the end of April.
Hassan Reddick would be fun. Hassan Reddick. Hey, before we go, your prediction. It's March 21st. Who do they take at 8, Aaron?
I think they'll probably... I'm torn on this, but, like, I'll go Dallas Turner, Alabama. Okay. I think that's probably where the smart money is at this point in time. But, like, I feel like I'll probably change my mind like 6 times between now and April 25th.
I'm going to say they take either Terry Arnold or Kool-Aid McKinstry. That's what I think they end up doing. But we'll see. I think they go defense. I would be pretty surprised if they go offense, even though we've seen year over year. We're always surprised that Terry Fondo ends up
going. I will not be surprised this year if they do it again.
Yeah.
So.
But also, would, like, if it's Malik Nabers, I'm not like mad. Like, I'm like, okay, that's fun. Guess what? This offense is gonna be more fun. That's fine with me. I've had to watch a lot of bad offense of late. Aaron Freeman, thank you as always. Go subscribe Locked On Falcons today if you're not already, and we'll have to check back in again soon.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas podcast. Hell yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.